Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. On the pitch. And this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And good morning and welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping... Now, that's very odd. I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. All right. My computer sent me a message to start a program that's already started, but that's okay. You know, this, I'm telling you folks, this whole danger with AI, we're in for it if we turn our lives over, and so much of what we do is dependent on these computers. Anyway, good morning and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. I do know that you have a choice, and I thank you for choosing to be with me this morning. Matt Long and I are going to be talking about in the bottom of the next hour, the GOP. There's a new article out at The Blaze, and it is commentary. Let's face it, the GOP is the problem, by Daniel Horowitz. And it speaks in large part to this whole budget crisis and budget battle that just has taken place, and the soon to be battle that's going to be taking place with regards to the Speaker of the House issue. So we'll get into that. Let's see, what else do we have? Hang on just a minute. Another piece that we are going to be talking about, top of the next hour, Josh Witkowski, founder of XLN Services. We'll talk about Vision Zero. Vision Zero. You may not be familiar with it. I have not been hugely familiar with it, but we're going to get into that and talk about why it's failing. So we'll get into that shortly. And bottom of this hour, Lori Furstenberg will be with us, D.C. cultural advocate. You may have heard Henry Cuellar last night, Representative Henry Cuellar. Anyway, he had his car carjacked at gunpoint. But that's what happens when there's violence going on. All right. Let me see if we can get my first guest in here. And we'll try. Okay. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, perfect. There we go. I gotcha.
I am so sorry.
No worries. I think we're all good. Well, welcome, Nikki Baldwin. Good to have you.
Thank you. I put my son on the bus at 9 a.m. and it's a
hustle.
It never comes on time when I want it to.
It's a hustle. I get it. I understand. Well, I'm just glad you can make it. We've got a good 20 minutes, so we'll do well. We'll do well. Thanks for being with me this morning. And
Thank you so much for having me.
I know. We have raised five kids. So I understand how hectic things can be in the mornings, getting the kids ready and all that. We did a lot of homeschooling, but even still, that's even more because you don't get to you don't send them somewhere. It's ring
go
the bell and
go downstairs.
Yep,
to school.
It's ring the bell and here we go. Yeah.
I do mommy school with my son as well. He's in the gifted program, so he started talking at 9 months and telling on me at 14 months. So he's been just mommy school the entire time, and it's been interesting. Well, he's in public school, but I mommy school him. Just if he's interested, I teach him.
Awesome. That's great. We have a son who our youngest is special needs. He's 16. And so my wife, helps him. But they said he would never talk, never walk, all of those things. And we started, praying over him. I started laying hands and praying over him. And he talks up a storm, and ask him anything about pretty much any creature in the sea or any bug or anything like that, and he can tell you just about everything there is to know about him. It blows my mind. It's really amazing. Really amazing. So,
that goes to show you the power of God, and amen. Man does not control things, you know, as much as we think we do, we don't. And whatever is God's will, that is what it's going to be. So,
amen. Our faith. I mean, activating our faith and putting our trust and our confidence in His Word. What does His Word have to say about it? And that's where we find our truth. And it goes to really, I think, our conversation this morning, because the Word of God has a lot to say about governance and about nations and about how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to behave. And our country was founded, predicated on those principles. And you and I both, but I mean, because of the left's narrative, I point to, you are a product in so many ways of, you know, what happens when you get back on track. Oh, there we go.
In God we trust.
Come on now. Come on now.
In God we trust.
Yep. And you know, and your story is amazing. It's amazing. I mean, you know,
I am here through the only by the grace of God. So I know that to be true. And I know he's had so many people watching over me. He has been there for me. I was telling my campaign manager, I got into this car accident. And even to this day, I just kind of look and I say, oh, my goodness. Like, I just semi-truck versus tree on I-95, swerved to miss the tree to not hit the semi-truck, lost control of my car. Passenger looks over. He doesn't have his seatbelt on. So it was crazy. I grabbed over to his seatbelt, mess up my AC, AC dysfunction. And right before my car started flipping, I heard the sweetest sound say, you know what? It said, it's okay. Just don't move. But I grabbed onto my wheel and I said, okay.
Wow.
And I flipped 3 times, wound up upside down in the ditch. The passenger's portion of my car was pinned up against the back of my chair. My head came about this much off the chair. The paramedics, they were like, we don't understand how your neck wasn't broken.
Wow.
By the grace of God. There Amen. Is a calling. There is a reason that I'm here. So yeah. Let's do this.
So 6 years ago, I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to save my daughter's life in a car accident when a truck pulled across in front of us and we hit him at 55 miles per hour. And I heard the little voice say, Jackie in seatbelt. Popped my seatbelt and made that dive. I broke 34 bones in my body. I spent 6 weeks in ICU and I died 4 times and took 3 trips to heaven.
Oh.
So yes, ma'am, we are both here in accordance to Psalm 139 in this moment because he wrote out that we would have these testimonies to share with our audience about how great and how mighty and how incredible our God is. How is your passenger?
He was fine. He was my ex-boyfriend at the time. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're trying to kill him. Like, no. he was fine. I am confident that I saved his life that day.
I'm sure you did.
Because one, why do you not have on your seatbelt? So it's there are things that we just don't know and don't understand, but it's not for us to understand.
Well, but so God's given you a very unique perspective because of all the others. I mean, that's just part of your story. You also were a foster child. Your mom was destroyed by the ravages of drugs.
And she was abused by her husband.
Yeah.
That man tried to kill her multiple times. He was a convicted killer, and he bragged about killing 2 guys and 3 women. And there is no doubt in my mind that we wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for her and her quick thinking. That man was crazy.
Well, so, and so...
I have a very unique perspective on many things.
Sure. Well, and you were sexually assaulted. You were raped as well. You have you know, survived. You are a survivor of that experience as well.
It took me years to realize that it wasn't me. It took years. And, you know, crime is crime is crime. We can't say what's going on through another person's head. And the guy had the audacity to tell me that it's what I wanted. Okay.
And Nikki, you know, that goes to the depravity of men, doesn't it? I mean, it just speaks so much to that. We are a sinful being, and folks, when I say that, that's not Christianese, nor does it any way make light. It just points out how absolutely evil and why it's so important for voices like Nikki's, having experienced and come face to face with so much of this, to be speaking out as an advocate on behalf of the most innocent amongst us, and that's children who are the target of the left, this gender dysphoria that they're forcing on kids. Kids don't grow up with gender dysphoria. That's a concept that's put into their minds by individuals that are perpetrating these evils. And the grooming and so I don't know if you saw the recent story. I actually posted something just to make people aware, but they're using game rooms now. They busted a kid in New York, a 23-year-old, on a gun charge, and discovered that he's part of a satanic pedophilia ring that is nationwide, that is entrapping children using phone game apps to do it.
So there is no doubt that there are issues. There is a medical condition, but this is more than that. This is, you know, when I look at the headlines and I see a picture, so I'm going down my YouTube and, you know, we have drag queens reading to little kids in their libraries. We have I know a lot of people who are gay and they're like, yeah, that's not us. Like, that's not us. And I said, well, because I don't want to, like, from where I stand, I look at it and say, you know what, you do you. At the end of the day, that's between you and God, right? That's between you and God. But what we need to do is leave our children out of this. Leave our kids alone. Let kids be kids for as long as they can. Yeah. And all this other stuff, it is our job as adults to protect them. You know, if you're being bullied, let's address being bullied. Like, being bullied is bad. I don't care why you're being bullied. Let's fix that and let's address it. So I just, it's, and then as soon as you say, you know, this is who I am and this is what I'm about, I become the bad person. If you say, hey, Nikki, accept me for this and who I am, I say, okay, no problem. You know, because you're asking me to accept you for who you are. It has nothing to do with me. But then I tell you, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. These are my values. This is my religion. And now I'm the bad person. See, I have a major issue with that. And it's not coming out of hate. It's coming out of love, because my focus is unity. I want us all to get together because we are not all the same. And I acknowledge we all come from different backgrounds, but stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
come on.
Well, and the thing to me is that, you know, on the one hand, yes, we're all born in sin, but I believe too that there is an innocence with children up until a certain age, right? That we call it the age of accountability. But there's an innocence that's there as well. There's an inherent. The Word of God says in Romans 1 that He's put things in our heart and written things in us to know the difference between right and wrong. Children understand that. And for them to target and attack children to destroy that innocence, to use the perverted mindset of an Alfred Kinsey who suggested that babies are just sexual beings waiting to be stimulated into orgasm. My God! If somebody doesn't look at that and say, if that's where our sex education system is built, and it is today, all across this country, we have a serious, serious problem.
As adults, it's our responsibility. As humans, if you see someone who is weaker, so this girl that I was talking to yesterday, she said, "Why exactly are you doing this?" And I looked at her, I said, well, there are a lot of reasons that I'm running for office, because never in a million years did I think that I would have never thought it. Like, we joked about it, but to actually pull the trigger and say, no, here I am, this is my life, tear me apart, because that's what they do.
Absolutely.
They don't listen. You're not listening to understand and try to figure out things. You're listening for that little sound bite that's going to say, oh, see, she's just like everyone else. Or see, this is the way. No, stop it. And I told her, I said, all my life, I've been fighting for the little person. You know, in foster care, I had my sister, but actually I was in the children's homeless shelter. You know, I had my sister who really stood up for me and protected me. But when we got into foster care, we parted ways. So with everything that she taught me, moving around from family member to family member, from house to house, living in cars, like, it was crazy. So this is what I do. And this is what I'm good at. Even in the military, I stood up against my entire command because what they were doing was wrong. I'm not saying, you know, you do you, but don't drag everyone into it. It's kind of the misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of equate it to that, in which my campaign manager like, no.
You know what? In the restaurant, I was in the restaurant business for a number of years when I was a young man. And one of the things we understood about customers was, if you have a bad experience, you'll tell 10 people. If you have a good experience, you might tell one.
Well, service for a while, and the customer's not always right.
Oh, no. But what I'm saying your point, though. That is the natural propensity. If somebody has a bad experience in your establishment, they're going to run around and tell a bunch of people. Okay. So all the more reason to try to have, you know, give people a good experience.
So it's that teacher. I was looking at something and it was crazy because it was something else, but let's say he was doing like the two times tables, right? So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and then he put 13. And everybody's like, they're laughing. And they're like, oh, you're an idiot, you're dumb. And he said, I got it right 100 times, but that one time I messed up, now I'm an idiot. Now I'm this terrible, bad person. How about you talk to me and say, hey, this is wrong. This is actually what it is, instead of humiliating me,
right,
instead of putting it on national news. So what happened to compassion? Like, we are to change. Kids are watching us. They see everything that they do. Little eyes are always looking.
Yeah.
Little ears are always listening.
Processing.
So if we're acting a fool towards everyone and we're treating everyone like they're less than, what is our next generation going to be? Like, this is the next generation right now.
You know,
because for a fact, my great grandmother used to pop me every time I said something. Like, she's in another state. How did she just hit me?
Well, and to your point, that I think is where the churches fail, because when you talk about a lot of these issues, you know, we don't come to people and say, listen, we actually have a solution. We're not just telling you how you're living is wrong, or it's against the Bible, or it's against nature, or it's going to destroy you. It's going to be destructive to you ultimately. And I have a lot of friends that have come out of that lifestyle who talk about what it was like and what they experienced and how it was injurious to them. The church doesn't talk about
agendas.
Yes. There we go. There we go.
People, they say this is the face and this is what we want and here's the agenda right here behind their back. Yep. So so and this is another reason. So yes, I'm a Republican. I'm a proud Republican. And I look at it and I say, when we get in office, we rely on subject matter experts in order to say what, like for with our legislation. But the problem is when you have those people with agendas, you have Republicans only listen to Republican subject matter experts, Democrats only listening to Democrat subject matter experts. You're lopsided. You're not getting all of that information. So we have to do better at talking to each other and uniting and saying, okay, people like me who have that vast experience to say, oh, whoa, that's wrong. Or saying, you know what, look, I'm proud of who I am. I'm a proud Christian. This is my background. This is what I believe in. If you don't like it, just go over there.
Well, and I think
separations of church and state, yeah, that's the whole point.
Well, I think the other piece relative to that is understanding where our rights ultimately come from. If you want true liberty, if you want freedom, you know, first you have to value life. And we have a political party that has made it very clear that they actually don't value life. If they're willing to snuff out life at its beginning, or even when it's about to be born, as we would identify, you know, a baby at 9 months, if they're willing to snuff that out, and some even have suggested as much as at 3 years of age, okay, if you're not willing to recognize where life comes from, understand, and we'll talk about this here in the next couple of minutes, because my next guest, we're going to talk about Representative Henry Cuellar, who suffered the consequences of the Democrats' own policies just last night when he was attacked by a gunman and had his car stolen. You know, when you have no law and order, when you do not define the difference between right and wrong, when you let all of that become subjective and not objective and firm and understand, again, rights coming from God, you're going to be in trouble. And I appreciate,
we have a lot of laws on the books, which is, there are so many laws on the books right now. They're not being enforced, but yet and still you want to write more legislation on top of it. How about we enforce those laws and then we step back and say, wait, this is about compassion. Like it's, and as you stated, we've lost all of our compassion. Like, I know my son was looking at Facebook. He's like, and I was like, baby, what are you looking at? Oh, police cam, dash cam. Oh, why are you looking at dash cam? Oh, they're probably going to get into an accident. I can't wait.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
So I just... Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
This is our society. This is what we have become.
Well, and we got to wrap up, but that's why you are saying take a stand and help us bring common sense back to policies and making today so that our kids and our grandkids can live in a better tomorrow. And you can, for those of you who are watching us, you can see it. Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, Baldwin.com is the website. For those of you that are listening, Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, Baldwin.com. Nikki is running for Virginia Senate, Virginia State Senate. And if you are listening to us and you're anywhere near Richmond, which I used to go to Richmond all the time when I had my company, one of my clients was just outside of Richmond, and I used to stay at the Jefferson, which is was a beautiful facility back in the day. But of course, this was back when Frog and the Redneck was around. So you can tell now I'm dating myself. But at any rate, Richmond is a lovely city, wonderful city. And it's a great area, and I just wish you all the very best, Nikki, in your campaign. I look forward to hearing more and following what you're doing there. We've got to keep Virginia red. I'm so glad for what Governor Youngkin is doing, and your lieutenant governor as well, Winsome, and was excited for their victories, and we'll be excited to see Virginia continue down that path.
Yeah, we just have to get out the vote and say, hey, it's okay if we don't agree with everything. That's fine. But we have to come together for our kids' sake, for our future's sake, and stop all this bickering.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Nikki. Enough. I appreciate it. God bless you, dear. I got to get my next guest on. We got to cut into our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up. Lori Furstenberg will be with us, and we'll talk about Representative Cuellar's assault and what happened there coming up right after this brief break.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation
to Chosen
with
Generation
Pastor
Radio,
Gray.
Where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Welcome back, folks. Thanks so much for being here. I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. I want to welcome Lori Furstenberg. Lori, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Pastor Young. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, you know, we were just talking about this. You know, if you're going to remove the laws, if you're going to tell criminals that it's okay to steal from stores, we have stores closing up all across the country because the cities that they've been doing business in, there's no consequences. We have DAs that refuse to prosecute crimes. We have criminals that are committing violent crimes that are being turned around like a revolving door and released back out onto the street. There's no moral compass in place. And of course, the moral compass has been stripped away for so many years. We've violated the conscience of children. So children are no longer, I used to talk to my kids about this. I've got children ranging in ages from 33 down to 16. But even with my oldest kids that went to school in the 90s, I used to talk to them about, you know, who you hung out with and the decisions that you made and talk to school administrators about how you can't teach Johnny that whatever Johnny wants to do is okay and no consequences, and then expect that Johnny's gonna make all good decisions and never hurt anybody. I mean, if he knows he can take a toy and beat the kid up that he took the toy from and then have no consequences because subjectively, hey, you know, Johnny really wanted that toy. My gosh, Lori, where are we going?
That's right. Where are we going? I like your comment, violated the conscience of children. You're absolutely correct on that.
It leaves our society and our culture vulnerable to what we're seeing today. People are coming at this and saying, oh, this is like some new phenomenon. But you have young people anywhere between 16 and 40 right now that have grown up in a culture where everything's gray and everything's predicated on feelings and emotions and what can I get now, and to hell with who it hurts.
That's right. That's right. And I'd actually even say younger than that. I'd say 10 on up. And, you know, we're in a society where the social norm is acceptance, meaning back to the lawlessness that's going on here in D.C. and across our nation. I'll talk to long-timers here in D.C. that will tell you, this has always been, it's gotten out of control. This has always been confined to certain areas of D.C. where basically, Pastor Young, they tell me it was accepted. And the police would allow these horrific acts of violence to occur because they were in said areas of D.C. where it was accepted. It was the social norm. And I scratch my head saying, when and why has that ever been okay? When and why is it okay for an entire culture to be killing off one another? And now people are concerned because it's spread across the entire area of D.C. It's never been okay to begin with. And now it's just expanding all over the nation, frankly.
Well, I think you touch on a really important point as well, and that is that, you know, again, you talk about the influence that culture has. You're encouraging these behaviors, and then vilifying the individuals that are acting out or behaving in a way that you have encouraged. When you reduce life, one of my friends is the Reverend Clenard Childress, who has blackgenocide.org, which is a website that I have talked about for years now, before I even met him. I was introduced to it, but it outlines the assault on the Black community of abortion and the targeting, going back to Margaret Sanger in 1959, which New York finally took her bust down. They finally said, gee, maybe, you know, maybe her eugenics concept against the Black population is, I don't know, problematic. But to your point, we suggest that certain areas, certain neighborhoods, it's okay that there's all this violence. We're just not going to do anything. Now, some of the responsibility falls on the neighborhood, but it also falls on the city as a whole, I think. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, that gets a little touchy. How much government do we want? But in the same sense, again, to use the term, I scratch my head on this. So we don't want a lot of government overreach. But again, we have a government, and because we're specifically talking about D.C., I'm just going to say that, you know, use an example. So because we're in D.C., where we basically have a Marxist-run government here, where we have a lot of programs that are in place, too many programs, frankly, for the 68 square miles that DC encompasses. And what it's really 58 because 10 square miles of that is water. So we have basically 58 square miles here. I would love for someone to do a thesis paper on this. How many programs do we have per capita, per this area, for the populace? But nevertheless, so we have way too many programs in place for the populace, and they're clearly not doing anything. These programs, the social experiment that Lyndon Johnson put in place, is clearly not working. And the social experiment that our government seems to play with using people's lives as a guinea pig, and that the city, some within the city are standing up, but that we don't have more outrage to this. Again, I have to go back because I think that it's been socially acceptable. It's been the norm. You know, it's just, they're going to kill themselves. That's all they're going to do. I cannot get to grips with that. Not only why the populace accepts that, but why we have government officials who supposedly care so much via all these programs they put in place, care about the culture and try to redefine the culture and care about the populace and throw their idealistic mindset over the people. So they supposedly care about them, about us, but they allow this killing, this violence, these homicides to continue. And it clearly is not common sense. That clearly doesn't make sense.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Well, and to your point about Lyndon Johnson, I'll agree and disagree. In this respect, it was his plan that what would happen is happening. It was his they socially engineered and desired the division, the destruction, the extermination. Which is a very harsh word, but it's a fact, it's a reality, and they knew that they could get a certain population, and I had a gentleman on in the last few days that said, you know, he said, I'm not going to say the word, but he said, you know, Johnson said, I'm going to get them, and they're going to vote for me for the next, I think it was Vince Ellison who said it, but I'm going to get them to vote for me for the next 107 years, you know. He knew that he could twist the truth, and then essentially my friend, the late departed Bishop George Dallas McKinney, wrote a book called The New Slave Master. And you know, he was a professor who understood that, you know, that's what the welfare state was. The welfare state enslaved people. It was targeted at the minority populations. But I tell this story all the time. My wife and I were going through some difficult economic times in the early 90s, and our church recommended that, you know, hey, to get back on your feet, go ahead and sign up, you know, for a program. We were in California, and when my wife called, they said to her, divorce your husband and we'll provide you with housing, cash aid, and food. We'll take care of you and the two small children, but you need to divorce your husband. He can no longer be in the picture.
And that was in California?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, interesting. You know, you say the manipulation of words, and whether that was Saul Alinsky that we can contribute that to, or some other sadly brilliant philosopher, and I'm sure you would know better than I, but nevertheless, the manipulation of words, the left does extremely well, extremely well. Let's look at abortion as healthcare, for example.
Yeah.
It's not health and it's not care.
No.
Not either of those. So abortion being healthcare, but they have put, and I want to be careful here just to this level. I came from, my background was, I was a Democrat for nearly 30 years. My parents are very liberal. My family, like their religion, is kind of an alphabet soup of different politics and beliefs and this and that. And guess what? We get along. We have common sense ideals. My dad, hard liberal, very much over this illegal immigration. He's disgusted by it. He's atheist. He's a hard liberal. And he is absolutely disgusted by this multitude of illegal immigration. Right. So our family comes together on these policies or on ideals and beliefs. To the extent where I'm trying to go with this is that we have an entire city back to social norm acceptance and the killing off of individuals and the lawlessness. So we have an entire city that is just accepting that.
Right.
And of that has just that won't vote for common sense, that A, won't vote anymore because they see how corrupt DC is.
Yeah.
B, they won't vote or they won't vote for a Republican. They might vote for a Libertarian, but they won't vote for a Republican. And just because of how the verbiage, back to manipulating words, just how that came into play over all these years and how all these government officials, both and leaders nationally and locally, how they have used those words and just really played into that with the emotions, because that's what people do. Mm-hmm. We'll just say the left plays into those, manipulates those words. And now they have an entire generations of individuals that are just so brainwashed with this terminology that, again, they can't see common sense that abortion is killing. How is that healthy? How is that care?
Well, and the suggestion that, you know, that a 5 or 6 year old child can suddenly decide what their sex is, and then be placed on drugs that cause permanent altering to their body. But then you have medical professionals that will, in my opinion, perjure themselves by suggesting that, oh, it's not permanent, and if they decide they can switch back. Well, you know, talk to Chloe Cole. You know, talk to these detransitioners who were led down that very path and who are now caught up with the pharmaceutical companies, who knew that once they got you started, you would be hooked on their drugs because there's no way your body now can properly function because you've disrupted the process. It's criminal. Right. It's criminal, Lori.
It is criminal. And you know, to that point of being hooked on the drugs, I remember when I was younger, and of course women, we have our menstrual cycles, and I remember when I was younger, the pill came out to where it stops your menstrual cycle for 6 months. You'll only have a menstrual cycle for 1 month, you know, 1 month out of the year. And me not being a medical doctor, I still knew that, that just doesn't seem logical. Our bodies are not meant to do that.
Right.
So that's decades ago when I saw this come out.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on? Why does the medical world want this to happen? So that's when I started questioning pharmaceutical companies in general then as well.
Well, and then on the other hand, as a woman, you might be saying, so I don't have to go through all of that for 6 months out of the year? Woohoo! As a young girl who experiences a couple of bad cycles, you're like, oh, none of those? Woohoo! That's great. I'm on board. Sign me up. But without being told the prolonged consequences that are associated, the long term issues that you're looking at facing, and all of this speaks to the manipulations and the fact that, again, when we break foundations, when we destroy foundations, and we have people now standing on all these jagged edges trying to figure out how to get their footing, now you make people vulnerable to accept certain things that under normal conditions, there's no way they would agree to that under any normal condition, because they would be settled and they'd be able to process it as it comes in. But you get them, and it's a teaching technique. I don't know how much of that. My wife went through, in college, talking about, different, teaching techniques. And it's one of the things they say. They say, look, you've got to get the kids kind of unsettled in order to get their focus on what you're trying to get them to learn, that it to get through the barriers. And so you do that. You create a little bit, a minor amount of chaos, not in an evil way, but just in a way that kind of gets them kind of going, oh, wait a minute. Oh, and you wake up the mind, so to speak. But this is a different, this is a whole different type of manipulation, because you're destroying that very, again, that line of conscience that says, wait, I don't think, like you said, wait, this doesn't sound right. This, there's something about this that my little voice in my head going off is saying, no, danger close.
That's right. And as you were saying, Pastor Young, to the foundation, that was a great visual that you gave us, to where we're kind of on these points, and our foundation is all kind of broken, and we're trying to figure out where to land. Well, and then back to what you were saying earlier about the children. So, here we have young people I'll again just speak to DC. So here we have per capita, more churches in the nation per capita for our land size. So that said, I think we have somewhere around, don't quote me on this, 465 churches here. That's quite a few churches.
Sure.
But sadly, a lot of them have closed down. They were once vibrant, but a lot of them have closed down. I'm working with the churches on a separate note, just segue. I'm working with the churches in the area because I'm creating a private school, a free private school for at-risk kids in D.C., so that's a whole nother episode. But anyway, so I'm creating that for that DC. So I am meeting with a lot of the pastors of these churches and so forth. And across the board, they are losing parishioners. They need members. And their members that they do have, what are they? They're older. And sadly, they're dying off.
Yeah.
Because they are older. And so my point for that is we have an entire generations, plural, of individuals that have left the church. So we have, as you were saying when you opened up, we have no moral compass. So these kids, and then to boot on that, and again, don't quote me on this figure. I overheard it recently, but supposedly the majority of kids, I'm saying 70% of the kids in DC are part of the system. Mm. So that they either, you know, they're part of the system with social services, right, because parents, no parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, none of that, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say they're, you know, with foster parents.
Yeah.
And then we have a large portion of that populace, if you're following,
mm-hmm,
that are all homeless, but not to the extent that normal, that you would normally think about homeless, to the,
right,
extent to where you're looking at couch jumpers. They go to friends' house, they jump on the couch there, mm-hmm, or they're going to drug houses, or they're, you know, you name it, horrible, horrible things that you can think of. But we are talking age 10 and up.
Yeah.
Age 10 and up.
Yeah.
Where literally they are running wayward in this city, lost. Their souls are just lost and they have no direction, because back then, pulling this back together, mm-hmm, with government overreach and involvement, where the government should not be overreaching, but the programs that they have initiated, that they manipulate the words to help these kids, they're not helping these kids.
Right. Right. Well, and to what you were saying, you know, we have, you know, we've removed God from the equation. Okay. So there is no, there's no absolutes. You know, one of the studies talks about, you know, what do you believe in absolutes? And I think the number is like 60 to 65% of the population says, no, there's no such thing as an absolute. You could make a funny irony of that by suggesting, well, the minute you say there are no absolutes, you've just created an absolute. But that being said, the problem again is that you've got this moral gap then that exists in what you're describing. And that then is this whole, and I feel sorry for these pastors. So many of them, many of them coming out of seminary today, they're being told that this book is just a suggestion. It's as reliable as Aesop's fables. Okay. It's not predicated. It's not inerrant. It's not God's word. It's not absolute truth. They're being told these things, and now they're standing in front of a congregation, people coming in looking for answers, and they themselves are confused about what the answer actually is. And that is just absolutely heartbreaking. And so they say, well, whatever. So the older population is saying, no, we know better than that. Okay. And the middle population, the ones that are coming, aren't getting an answer. And so they're saying, well, you don't have any better answers than whatever's out here. It's okay. I don't need to join another club. My message to close would just be this. There is an answer. His name is Jesus Christ. He will change your life. He is the expression of God's love, but not to condone and accept our sinful behavior that God knows and has shown us in his book is destructive and will lead to a terrible end. His desire is to lift us out of that and show us a better way, a better way. And he will give you the strength and the ability to transform. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus Christ hung on the cross while we were yet sinners. Christ died for each and every one of us to transform us. And that's the power of the cross. He defeated that sin that has so easily beset us.
Amen to that.
And that's what's going to save us. It's the only thing that will save us. It's the only thing. I, with you, I'm glad that Representative Cuellar was not injured, but I wish that they would recognize that these policies of allowing criminals to go free, not only are there innocent citizens, law-abiding citizens that are injured by this, but the criminals themselves end up dead.
That's right.
And their lives matter just as much as everybody else's in the eyes of God. And again, not excusing their behavior, but what I'm saying is the only answer, the only ability, the only real change happens at the cross when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and let our old man die so that new man might rise out of those ashes of death. And that's what Jesus did for us.
And you're absolutely right. And their lives, all lives matter.
Amen.
All lives, their lives matter. So the question is, DC, why are you not seeing this? You hear it, that your lives matter from the government officials, but their policies give the power not to law enforcement. Their policies give the power to the criminals.
Yeah.
Their policies let these wayward kids not see any solutions.
Yeah.
So we've got to have change in policies. We've got to have, but most foremost, as you said, that secondary, primary, we've got to, and I'm not going to preach what people should do. That's your job, not mine. But I know I love God. I know I believe in God. And I know that God is the way.
Amen.
But people that don't have that belief, you know, there's 465 churches in D.C., find a church. There's a church with a belief for everybody. And I promise you that these churches are preaching basically the moral compass. They're preaching unity. They're preaching coming together. They're preaching, treat your brother, treat your neighbor as you would love
your neighbor. Amen. We've got to jump. We're a minute over. Lori, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate you jumping in with me today. It was awesome. Hour number two straight ahead. John Witkowski will be with us right after this break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.